for solvents, and number 312 will be for invitation tonight, 312.
Exodus chapter 6 is where my Bible is marked here tonight, Exodus chapter 6, and I invite you to open up your Bibles here as well and follow along with me tonight as we read those passages once again here in a few moments and bring a lesson from the Word of God. I'd like to thank everyone for being out with us here tonight. I want you to feel welcome. If you're visiting with us, we do have visitors with us, Jean Hume and her husband's with us tonight. We're glad of that. Many prayers have been lifted up on their behalf, and we certainly appreciated the fact that she's here this evening. And we praise God for that. But we want everyone to feel very welcome here. We want you to feel like our honored guests. Hope you come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe it is as it reports to be the words of God. One time Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. And so therefore tonight I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the word of God, for everything that I will preach and teach here tonight. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom or teaching of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 5. I appreciate the reading that was read so well a few moments ago. If you don't mind to indulge me to read this once more with me as just a little jumping off point for our lesson here tonight. Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. For the strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. You may recall the children of Israel are in the bondage of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron has went and asked Moses to let his people go, and he would not do that. And God said to Moses, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai, but my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out hand and great judgments. I will take you to be for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out under the burdens of Egypt. And I will bring you into the land concerning which I swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as an inheritance. I am the Lord. There are five things I'd like to point out to you here this evening that is good news to a burdened people. Now, we're not slaves to the Egyptians today, but I got to tell you, as we begin a new week, all of us can look at our lives and where we're at. Many of us are not where we thought we would be. And because of that, we're afflicted and we're discouraged many times, and we are burdened. And what I want you to understand, there's a higher calling. I want you to know there's a higher being. There's someone who said, let there be light, and there was light. And he speaks to you and I today, and he wants to acknowledge you and wants you to understand some things. And we learn it here in these eight verses of Exodus chapter 6. And I'd like to point those things out to you here tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want you to see is beginning in verse 6 of Exodus chapter 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, and I will bring you out from under the burdens on the Egyptians. I want you to appreciate that God cares about your burdens. These folks were burdened with the slavery that Egypt had put them in because God was asking through Moses to be let go. They were complaining, Pharaoh thought, and he added to their burdens, you may recall. And I want you to appreciate that God cared about the burdens of his children, and he cares about our burdens today. He cares about our cares, our concerns, our anxiety, our stresses that we carry. And what I want you to appreciate, one of the reasons why we get so discouraged and sometimes we get disillusioned with life is because we begin to bear burdens we were never intended to bear alone. I want you to appreciate that the God of heaven cares about his burdened people. In the book of Psalm 55 and verse 22, the psalmist there said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee, for he will not suffer his righteous to fall. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast in all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You see, he is concerned about the burdens that you bear day to day, and he never intended for you to bear them alone. And so he said, I want you to take them to me in prayer. I want you to come to me with those things. I want you to tell me about your anxieties. I want you to tell me about your stress, because I care about that.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Because God cares. God cares about a burdened people. He's concerned about the anxieties, the stresses, the heartaches, the problems that you go through. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find unmerited favor to help you in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. One of the lessons that I learned here tonight, I want you to take home with you, and I want you to remember all the days of your life, is that God cares about your burdens. It may not seem like anyone else does, and maybe no one else does. But God does. God cares about your burdens. I want you to stay right there in that same verse. I want you to see something else that I learned. I will bring you out from the burdens of Egypt, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I want you to appreciate that God cares about our bondage. Now listen, there's a difference between burdens and bondage, cares, concerns, versus problems, versus control by someone else or some substance. I want you to appreciate that God is concerned about your bondage. What it is that has entangled you here in this life. What is it that controls you? Maybe it is anger. Maybe you're angry at life. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you fear the next day. Maybe you fear right now. Maybe there's some problem that you face and you fear that. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe there are other kinds of sins that I want you to appreciate that can enslave us, can entangle us. And I want you to appreciate that God cares about that bondage. He was concerned about his people being in slavery. He cared about that. And he said, I'm going to rid you out of that because I don't want you in bondage. And I want you to appreciate that God doesn't want any one of us in bondage to anything except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we face these things. I preach a sermon sometimes entitled, Facing Giants. There's a lot of things, a lot of problems we have in our life that just seem to have us in bondage with fear and anxiety and concerns, things that we ourselves cannot overcome. And I want you to appreciate that you're at least thinking from that standpoint correctly, because you cannot overcome it alone. But I want you to understand that you and God make the majority. And whatever it is that you face in your life, God is concerned about the bondage that you're in. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can overcome because I got a God that's concerned about my bondage. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. That is the God that is concerned about your bondage. You enslaved into something tonight. I want you to appreciate that God is concerned about that and is ready, willing, and able, exceedingly above and beyond what you can ask or think, able to bring you out of that bondage. But look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. The Apostle Peter there says, when they promise you freedom, they themselves are slaves to corruption. All the world turn your back upon God and throw off the shackles of religion. They themselves are slaves. They're in bondage themselves to corruption. Why? Don't you know? To whom ye yield service to obey, his service you are, to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. God is concerned about who it is that you're enslaved with. God is here to help you with your bondage. Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man will do to me. That's Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And I want you to learn this lesson here tonight as well. That God cares about our bondage. And I want you to see this as well. He cares about our freedom. I'm going to rid you out of their bondage. And I'm going to redeem you out with a stretched out arm. We have all sold ourselves to sin, ladies and gentlemen, and I want you to appreciate that God is concerned about that. God is concerned about the slavery and the bondage that we ourselves many times have put ourselves into, and he is concerned about that, and he's out with an outstretched arm reaching out to you to redeem you back from that. Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel shows a picture of man lying lazily before God. And God, you may recall, is stretching. He's stretching in that picture out for man. And man with the pinky fingers kind of just reaching back. I want you to appreciate that many times that's exactly what it is. God is forever looking and attempting to give us our freedom, stretching out for you and I, if we will but grasp. In John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth," listen, "will make you free." You see, he's concerned about your freedom. It will make you free. And they said, "We have Abraham to be our father. We've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall make us free?" And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 17, "But thanks be to God, you were once the servants or slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine being delivered to you. Then therefore, being free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." That's Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. "In whom we have redemption in his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins." Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom." A ransom? A ransom for many. I'm going to pay the price for your freedom. And I want you to understand here this evening, as I catalog for you some things here that are good news for a burdened people. The things that burden us, the things that are anxieties or concerns, because we have been held bondage, because we are slaves to the things of this world, God is concerned about all of that. With outstretched arms, he's here tonight, stretching out to you, calling for you to grasp his arm, that he might be able to free you from the burdens that we face. Notice verse 7, if you will, of Exodus chapter 6. He also says, "And I will take you to be for my people, and I will be to you a God." God cares about our fellowship. "You shall be my people." Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand and do you appreciate that, that God wishes to have a relationship with you? I preached a lesson last Lord's Day morning entitled "Lord Jesus." We just talked about there. You may recall all the things that Jesus is Lord of. Lord of creation. He created all things. It was made by him and it was made for him. He's a Lord of Scripture. All the Scripture talks of his coming, talks of him being here, talks of him going, talks of him coming back, talks about what it is that he's done for you and I. Communicated through his word, he's the absolute Lord of Scripture. He's the Lord of nature. He would say to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still," and they were still. Lord of the church. He's head, absolute, supreme, all preeminence. The question is he Lord of our life? Of all the things that God created, all the things that you and I look at, time is the Lord of time. Time is marked by him. It's before him and it's after him. Everything is about Jesus. But he wants to have a unique relationship with you. And with you individually. Therefore, he's given you that choice. And he says, "I want to be your God. And I want to be your father. And I want you to be in a family." And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 16 and 18. When he said, "Upon this rock, that is that I am the anointed of God, the Son of God, I will build my church, ecclesia, called out body of people. I'm going to build my people because I want a people and I want you to be my people. I want you to be a part of my people." Ephesians 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul talking about this relationship, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. He doesn't want to have a relationship where you're just simply a servant or you're just simply a slave, but you are a son, you are a child of God. And if a son, then an heir. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Romans 6. Romans 8 in verse 17. In Matthew 16 and 18, I've already said, Jesus said, "I'm going to build this people. The fact that I am the anointed of God." And Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But we are a chosen generation." Chosen. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but we are now the people of God. Great news for a burdened people. We live in a hustle-bustle world. I can remember, I can remember when fax machines was the big rage. And boy, you get a fax. You weren't going to mail anything anymore. You're going to fax it. And we're going to just fax things anymore. And we're only going to have to work about an hour a day now because you can just fax things to people. Then you fax it back. Well, let's just go on home now. We're done, right? And the more technology has advanced, all this promises of more leisure time, we just live more hectic, hurried lives than we ever did. Pay at the pump, drive-through, microwave society. And because of that, it has added anxiety and stress. And it has caused us to become those thorny Christians where we're concerned about all the cares and the worries and the riches of this life. And it has separated us from a relationship with our God, which we were created to have. Behold, what love God has bestowed upon us, what love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some good news for you tonight. God wishes to have a relationship with you. Not just from one slavehood to another, but as a slave to a son. And He's stretching out you tonight to be obedient to His call. And the last thing I want you to see is this, verse 8. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. God is concerned about our future. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity. I wish to give you a future and a hope. That's the God that we serve tonight. That is the God that we're talking about. This is the God that's talking through Moses, having him write these things for folks in Clarksville, Indiana in 2017 to hear. That is the God. That is the God of heaven. He wishes to give you hope. He wishes to give you freedom. He wishes to give you a future. Many times we've got this picture of God kind of like these mythological Thors that's sitting on a cloud, and every time we do something, he's just throwing down lightning bolts at us. Ah, I got you now. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that has revealed Himself to you and me tonight. That's not the God speaking to you through His Word at this very moment. This God wishes to give you hope. And He wishes to give you a future. In John 3 and verse 16, you may recall, very familiar passage, especially those who've watched football in the past. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we've heard that all of our lives, but how about verse 17? For the Son did not come into the world to destroy the world or to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why I came. That's the God I am. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is the God that is speaking to you here tonight. He has sent His Son. His Son died for your sins. He raised Him again the third day to show you that I've got the power to give you a future. Death could not hold His Son, and death cannot hold me. Not by my power, but by His power and grace. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's what I like about the Lord. He just tells it like it is. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So where I am, you may be also. I don't know about you, but that's good news.
And that's my lesson that I've entitled, Good News for a Burdened People. I learned that here from Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, that God cares about our burdens. I know I'm talking to people who have some burdens tonight. I want you to understand that God cares. He's concerned about your bondage. Most of us are slaves to something we should not be slaves to. God's concerned about that. And God's got an antidote for that. God cares about our freedom. He's given us the tools for it, and He wishes it. He cares about our fellowship. He wants a relationship with us, and He wants us to have a relationship with one another in a house, in a family, where we call ourselves brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And He cares about our future. And He calls for us tonight to come to Him. Jesus, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, told His apostles, I want you to go out and tell this good news to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Nine acts of a conversion found in the book of Acts. Nine times the word of God is proclaimed. They heard that word, they believed it, and they were baptized into Christ, as Paul describes it in Romans 6, 3 and 4, and Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And we call to you tonight to be obedient to that same simple gospel call. We extend the Lord's invitation to you here tonight, and we sing this song to encourage you. So if you sub to me in any way, come forward now as we stand and sing.
The voice of the Savior has come.